All right, everybody, welcome to the first edition of Ballin' on the Barn Burner Network and K-Buena Radio TV. My name is Drew Ebanks. This is an exciting time for Canadian basketball, and today we have a couple special guests on the show, our first show at K-Buena Radio TV and the Barn Burner Network. Of course, we've been doing our podcast for the last few years. Now we're on to bigger and better things here in a video. So without further ado, we're going to introduce two amazing guests today. First off, of course, the legend of Canadian basketball, one of the originators of teams going down to the States playing AAU basketball. He's the godfather of Canadian basketball, and he's been around, he's seen it all. Rev Russell. Welcome, Rev. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Drew. Thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here in your first show.
Man, that's incredible. And also, we can't leave out the young man. He's a thriving young basketball player, but he's much more than just a basketball player. He's an incredible mind, an A-plus student. And we're happy, so happy to have Kobe Etwi in the building. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me here. Super excited.
All right, man. Good to see you guys. Now, we got to get going. You know, today was a bit delayed because it's our first show, and we want to make our guy, Joe Pasek, proud and make him know that we're here to get the job done. So first off, I want to talk about the summer. I know, Rev, you were all over the place this summer, yeah. Especially with Elijah Fisher. It was incredible. Talk about your summer, man, and how that went.
Man, I should be able to have free flights all over the world after this summer. Every week I was all over the place, almost every state, you know. So it was a very productive summer in terms of with the Adidas Gold Gauntlet, going to different sessions, our 15 and under AU program, which finished number one in the standings for the sessions in Gold Gauntlet. And we went to the finals in California in July, and led by Elijah Fisher and Zayden Cross and Ramad Dean and the rest of our guys. We lost by two in the championship game to Indy Spies, but we had a very successful summer in regards to the circuit. And we also went to a bunch of camps as well and did really well. Actually went with Kobe down to Houston in late June for NCAA Academy. And, just every week, on the road. And so it was got a lot of stuff done. Very, very, very successful summer.
All right, man. It sounds exciting. I know you guys were back and forth. Kobe, what about you, man? What were you up to?
It was a lot of basketball. Same thing. It felt like every single week we're out doing something. It was a good experience overall, I think. It was my last AAU season, my last full AAU season at least. And I'm glad we got to end it on a good note. We didn't win the championship, unfortunately, with our team. But I think it was still a great experience. You know, our guys went hard. It was a lot of good bonding. And, yeah, I think it was a good experience overall. Got better and just ready to head into the school season.
Man, that sounds exciting. You guys, for those who don't know, won the championship last year, the NPA championship. You overcame a lot to win that. What was that, feeling for you guys when winning that championship right there?
It was a feeling of, we're on a mission and we got it done. During the year, we were building up steam. We had lost an early game to CTA, which was the former defending champions, and we were ready to get some revenge on them in this NPA championships at Sheridan College, and they got upset by Edge Academy out of Calgary, and we were
Didn't get your revenge,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, we didn't, and we were scouting on them that each practice, this is what they're going to do, this is what they're going to run, and then we were really surprised because we wanted to get that revenge to win the championship because we were feeling really good. At by like February, nobody could score on us. Like when we played Oak Hill during the year in January, they only scored 69 points on us. They normally double that. Like they're normally in the hundreds, mm-hmm, when they play teams. And like, so no one could score on us. Like the games were 50, 55, 60. So we just knew going into the championship that we had weapons to score, but our defense was such that you're not going to score that much on us, and we were able to win the NPA championships by, you know, about 20 points or so. And you know, we felt that it was time to move on to the next you know, league, which is the OSBA, which is a little bit stronger from top to bottom, and you know, less traveling for us, and more strategic planning in terms of schedule, so we can be able to complement our schedule down in the States, because we have a lot of tournaments, some big time tournaments we're going to. We're playing Oak Hill, we're playing Monvert Academy, we're playing Hamilton Heights, we're playing Garfield Heights, we're playing a lot of really good teams in the States, so we're excited about this season.
Unreal. What competition. I mean, I know some of those schools. And you, Kobe, as well, I know you snagged an award there or two when you guys won that championship. What was the feeling for you guys, man, after that season? And I love what Coach Rev said. I'm always preaching that to the young players. Mm-hmm. Play two ways. Yeah. If you play two ways, your coach has no reason but to keep you on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. And in terms of last year winning the championship, it was really great. And it was almost like something we knew that was going to happen at the beginning of the season if we did everything right. And we ended up executing well. We went on a good playoff run. And yeah, like it was good, because at the beginning of last year, it was like a brand new team almost, and so we ended up losing that year in the NPA in the semifinals, and that was like that hurt us a lot, because we thought we were gonna win. So that year coming in, we were just hungry, and we knew what we had to do to win, and we ended up coming out playing good defense, executing in the finals, and that's what brought us a championship.
That was incredible, man. You wanted to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, we kind of got a lot of awards from the NPA championships. Yeah. One of our former players that's now at Wake Forest, Jacoby
Neal. Can't leave Jacoby out.
Yeah, he was MVP of the league. Kobe here, he was Student Athlete of the Year. Luis Pachaco was Defensive Player of the Year, and we, you know, Kobe was also, I think, first team all NPA. So we definitely racked up the awards, and we really, you know, had a mission that we're gonna win the championship, and we're gonna, you know, take everything by storm. So I was really happy with how the guys ended. They ended on a great note, and we're trying to do the same thing in the OSBA again this year. We're really confident. We have a really good core of guys, and our system, you know, it's bar none, and we're ready to roll. We have some new guys from you know, the States, from Bahamas, from Africa.
International, right?
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, and so we're doing that. And one thing that's really cool this year, we're also made ourselves OSSA eligible, so we'll also be going to win the OSSA championship as well. So we're looking for a few championships this year.
You didn't have your belt last year. That's amazing. That's great to hear. You talked about the awards. Obviously, we're going to segue to the education piece. A couple things. Your average, you're doing so well in school. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And what you do to give back to the community. We know right after this show, you're heading to do your part. So talk about your school, how important that is, and what you do after, and what you're going to do right after this.
Yeah, well, I value education a lot, and I think that's partly because the environment that I'm around, like Crestwood, is a great environment to be around if you're academically driven, and also my parents have just instilled that idea of education being of such high importance, and so that's why I take my grades and take school very seriously. And after this, yeah, I'm going to tutor, because that's something I do on the side. And, you know, I get paid to do it, of course, but I still enjoy teaching kids and, you know, spreading knowledge to other people as well. But yeah, like, education is very important to me.
That's huge. I mean, the kids these days, you know, they want to play the sport, but they're not thinking long term. Welcome back to Ballin' on the Barnburner Network and Que Buena Radio TV. Thank you guys for sticking around. We are back to speaking to Ro the Rev Russell and Kobe Antwi here from Crestwood Prep, one of the top high schools, if not the top in the country here, definitely at the top of that list. So getting back to what we were talking about, Kobe, we wanted to add a little bit to your travels this summer. Talk about the NCAA Academy and what that was all about. I know there was a lot of coaches down there in the four locations, including Houston, Hartford, Grand Canyon, and Illinois. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like playing in front of all those coaches? And I was seeing it all summer that the Canadian guys were doing really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. It was a really good opportunity for guys. You know, it wasn't like a thing where all the five stars were going, and we could see that from the jump. Like, a lot of the five-star players weren't going. You know, they already have their offers and stuff. So it was a really good opportunity for, like, the underdogs to show out. And I think that's what we did. Like, in Canada, almost every player, in my opinion, at least, is, like, an underdog in the media, too, in the media's eye. So I think it was, like, a really great opportunity for us to go and just go at people and just go hard and get a lot of attention from some of the schools that were there. And there was a lot of schools there. I don't know how many, but it was definitely a good turnout. And, yeah, I think I performed really well. A lot of good Canadian players played really well, too, and just made a name for themselves. And I think each year the Academy is going to start getting better and better. More people are going to start coming. And, yeah, it was good for the first year.
And hopefully they have an event here in Canada, because we know the whole shift to kind of to take the power, I think, away from the shoe companies is why the NCAA has done this. But hopefully they'll figure out the Canadian side of things, you know, especially during the summer, to make sure that we have events here. Rev, I want to talk to you about being in Canada. We know Kobe was down in the States. You've been down there. But talk about the prep leagues up here. And is that going to be the solution for us losing a lot of the players? Because now there's two leagues that can keep players here, like Kobe and like Elijah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that since I started the whole prep school concept back in 2002 when I was doing...
Man, you were visionary, bro.
I know. When I was doing TAPS and everybody was like, you know, this ain't going to work and what are you doing?
That's going to be another show. When we go back over to history, you're going to go through and chronologize everything, man.
Definitely. And I was probably a little bit, maybe 10 years too early, but the concept was there. And then 2012 or so, then different programs popped up and academies until now you got two leagues. So I think a lot of kids like Elijah Fisher and, you know, Jamal Murray and, you know, Ignis and, you know, Lou Gantz and all these guys could have went to top prominent prep schools in the States and they stayed here and still went to major universities and had a good run at it. And now they're playing professionally in the NBA. And so I think it's a great solution for them to now have the competition, have the coaches come up, start early in August and train 4 or 5, 6 days a week and get that opportunity, exposure, live streaming and tournaments and still going on to the U.S. for certain showcases. So it's a good formula for top players to stay.
That's incredible. Yeah, you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. Like, this guy's a pioneer, man.
Before your time, man, we used to ball. Yeah, we used to play ball against each other, all right?
Almost every coach I've ever had, though. Oh, you know Coach Earl? Yeah, he's been coaching me, something like that, some type of connection. But, yeah, like, all it takes is one idea. Like you just got to keep working at it. Like, that's what Coach Earl did. Like, if people didn't believe in it, and eventually, you know, it pans out to be this crazy thing. Like, who would have thought that Canadian basketball would become such a platform and such a big thing for the world, you know? Like, we just won the championship. Like, it's at the pinnacle and it's only getting bigger.
It's incredible what's happening.
Yeah, no doubt.
We've been there, and I always thank Coach Rowe because, you know, my brother Sean, my cousin Tanya, they both played D1 and D2. They've both been so successful. My cousin Tanya was actually just here this weekend with her young son, Kyrie. And too bad you couldn't see her, but hopefully next time. But she just did it all down there and ended up staying there. So she made her education pay, got her master's and her degree, master's in computer science, and stayed down there, married one of the guys on the basketball team, and now they have a young son. So we want to thank the Rev, obviously, for what he's done for Canadian basketball. We got to move a little quickly now. Raptors winning the championship. We all know. We all celebrated. We've been there before the team came, and we saw it. What do you guys think? Without Kyrie, can they do it this year? Can they get a repeat?
Well, I think that people are not giving them the just desserts that they deserve, because they're still pretty good. They still had the best bench in the NBA. They still had, you know, potentially three All-Stars on that team. And so with, you know, Kawhi, who was a great addition to the organization, it made other guys step up. And they are going to step up this year with, you know, Pascal and OG and all those guys. So I think as a unit, as a group, you know, they're going to still do good things. I see them being like 3 seed in the East.
Smart man right there. I see the same. What about you, Coach?
Honestly, I don't even know what's going to happen, because I can't even lie. Even when they got Kawhi last year, I wasn't like, oh, man, we got it. Because the NBA just nowadays is so unpredictable. Like, anything could happen. But in terms of specifics, I think that we could definitely win the East. And it's going to be hard, but I think we can do it. You know, I have to have faith in my country. So, you know, I think I want them to win.
Who's your favorite player?
Favorite player?
Any level.
Any level. Oh, I have to say my favorite player is probably Clay, and just because I play like him. But overall, James Harden. I feel like if I could play like James Harden, I'd rather play like James Harden.
And what shoe do you rock when you're playing? What's your favorite kicks, man?
I like the Hardens, to be honest. I like the volume twos, but the volume threes weren't really my thing. So I kind of transitioned back to, I think, the Wiggins. Just because the Adidas, but I've been rocking Adidas mostly.
Who's your favorite coach?
Favorite coach?
who coach?
Oh,
who?
Come on, you already know the answer to that.
Oh man, he doesn't even have to say it. So we are here to celebrate your growth, and obviously as a player, I've seen you. You know, you've been on different teams, and you know you've migrated to what I think is one of the best organizations in the country. Mm. Talk about the teams that have shown interest in you so far, when you're looking as well to make your decision as to the next step in your basketball career.
Yeah, in terms of when I'm making my decision, I'm looking for the spring for sure. And, you know, it's a long process, and I've come to realize that in my final year. And so I'm just going to take this year as like I'm gonna take this year as one that I want to go as hard as I can, and I'm not really focusing on what schools are looking at me, what schools are not looking at me. I'm just gonna try and win and put my all into it. And at the end of the day, whatever is there for me, then that's where I'm destined to go. You know, so I'm not really focused on the specifics.
That's great. Hey, you have your level head about it. And Rev, when you look at Kobe, what does he bring to the table for the next level?
Well, he's got really good size. For a shooter.
What are you, like 6'9" now, or what are you?
Nah, list him as 6'5".
Sub 6'5".
Man, that's pretty good, bro.
With shoes, and you know, he's about 205, so he's really good size, and high IQ, can really shoot the ball with range, you know, well behind the three-point line, and also, you know, a good leader who's been around me for now 3 years, and, you know, he helps to put everything together. He's really developed his defense, his toughness, his rebounding, and his you know, leadership skills. And we've been working a lot on his ball handling to get his shots, you know, with separation and off the dribble as well, of catch and shoot and so forth.
The step back.
The separation. So, you know, we look forward to have some really good opportunities in the springtime. Schools are coming in, and they're going to be seeing a lot of him during this year against some top programs. So he's definitely going to get some pretty good offers. He has some now, but he's still not sure what he wants to do. So he's going to go hard, and then let the chips fall where they may.
All right. So I got something right here. I just want you to kind of go over that and tell me a little bit about this. I know your family is a big part of your basketball career, but just elaborate a little bit on this. And I brought a Sharpie, too, because I need to get your autograph now. I don't know if I'll be able to catch up to you, so I might have to get it, man. But Sweat Equity, man, I got, you know, your mom sent me a couple copies, and, you know, I haven't read all of it yet, but it looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way. Cover guy. He's on point with that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great opportunity. My parents are the publishers for a magazine, and, you know, what better way to get my name out there and to showcase my accomplishments by being on the cover of a magazine. You know, I feel like I worked towards it. It wasn't something that was just, like, given to me, you know. But yeah, it was a really good opportunity for exposure, and we got the whole team in there too. It wasn't just all about me. You know, it was our experience in the season of 2019 and winning the NPA championship. So I think it's just really special for that moment to be documented there forever.
Yeah,
amazing. That's I'm so proud of you.